The word of God, as I mentioned earlier today, evening, is taken from Psalm 38 and based on also Psalm 51. The words of the penitent, sorrowful sinner. We don't know the circumstances specifically that brought on this great pain and penitence on King David. There are many situations in his life that could have brought him to his knees before his Lord. But we know that the suffering that he felt in his heart and that he expressed in these words were genuine. For the Holy Spirit inspired him to bring them to us, that we too might know not only the repentance for our sins, which are so grievous, but also know the sure and certain hope of a God who not only hears our prayers, and not only recognizes the repentance brought about by his law, but also that we might receive his word of hope and forgiveness. I think sometimes that we, as good Lutherans, kind of give repentance the short shrift. We know God's grace. We know we're sinners. And we depend rightly so on his undeserved favor. And so, as we come to him in repentance, though it may not express the degree of sorrow and overwhelming guilt that David expresses here, we nonetheless can rest assured of God's rich grace and mercy towards us. But there are times, and perhaps your life, as in mine, when we come before our Lord expressing the very same burden and guilt and weight that weighed so heavily on David, wondering how it is that we could be so guilty, how it is that we could escape from the burden of our guilt in coming helpless and overburdened and weep before the Lord, confess our guilt, and lay our sins at his feet, knowing that there we find hope, that there is grace. And there, of course, is where David is in the psalm. We say it, as we did just a few minutes ago, at the beginning of every worship service, Lord, I am poor, miserable sinner. Miserable not because I don't make much money. Miserable not because I have arthritis. Miserable not because my wife doesn't do what I tell her. Miserable not because my kids are ill-behaved. I am miserable, Lord, because of the great sin that weighs so heavily on my heart. I, a poor, miserable sinner. There's where David stands throughout this psalm. He says, my iniquities have gone over my head. I can't get out from under them. They are so high, they overwhelm me. My heart pounds within my chest because of my guilt, Lord, as I stand before you who is righteous and holy. I roar because of the disquietness of my heart. I cry out in a loud voice, Lord, help me. My strength is gone. There is no strength in me. And the light of my eyes has left me. I live in darkness and in sadness. And Lord, you know this. My groaning is not hid from you. You know my great sorrow. You know my sin. And you know, Lord, that I am sorry. And he goes on, laying out before the Lord his wretched condition. My friends and my companions, they won't have anything to do with me. They know my sin. They avoid me because of my sin that I have committed against you. My family avoids me. And those that seek to harm me, Lord, people that I knew and I wanted, they talk about me behind my back. They discuss ways to do me in, to make me lose my name and my honor and my job and my position and all that I have worked for because of this wretched sin that weighs so heavily upon me. And then he talks about those who seek my life. And at that point, some of us might say, well, at least I don't pray that part because I don't know anybody at least that's trying to take my life. But you know there is. The devil himself. He wants to take your life from you. And not just your physical breath and life, but your eternal life. And he lays snares upon you when you are down and groveling and your face is in the gutter and you are at your weakest and worst. It is then that he sends his fiercest and most wicked foes that he might somehow at this moment steal from you this life which is so precious to your Lord and Savior. The life which he gave you in your baptism. The life of you being his child. The life which he sent his only son into the world to rescue from the very sin that weighs so heavy upon you. To take away the guilt that so burdens you. To make you righteous and holy before him because of the Christ that you and I crucified with the Jews on that first Good Friday. He stands there in his guilt. In his sorrow, in his weakness, and he makes this great confession of his guilt. And he says, I am like a deaf man. I don't say anything. Not like Jesus who was innocent before all of the charges, but like a deaf man who when they spoke had nothing to say. Nothing to say to answer their charges because he is guilty as charged. What can I say? I cannot defend myself. I am guilty. I'm like a deaf man who does not hear. There is no defense. I am guilty as accused. Lord, have mercy on me. And what does God do in response to that prayer? Forgives this poor, miserable sinner. Not because the confession was so throbbingly deep, so sincere, so heartfelt, but because God is so good. Because he is so gracious. It was for that very sin, for that very man, and for that very woman who is here today, who confesses these same sins and these same guilt, he came into the world that you might have the absolute assurance of the forgiveness of sin and everlasting life. Christ stood before Pilate, accused of your sins and mine, guilty of your sin and mine. God made him to be sin for us. The one who had no sin, he made to be sin. In order that we might become the righteousness of God in him. David's words as he continues on reflect his faith in this Savior who is yet to come. The one that he placed, trust in him, knowing there's nothing we can do, knowing we are guilty as charged. And our hope is in Jesus Christ, that he has paid for every sin, that he has taken every one of them away, and that he stands before our Father in heaven pronouncing us innocent, because there is no sin left. Jesus has paid for it all. He's made full atonement for every one of them. And as our Father in heaven looks at you, confessing your guilt, trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are declared righteous and holy before him and given everlasting life. David expresses these same things. He comes before God and he says, I am sorry. And we do the same thing. It is not because we are sorry that he saves us, otherwise we would somehow be earning God's gift. But he has given freely. We come expressing our guilt. And we come because he has invited us to do so. For he was a vengeful God, bent on punishing us for our sin, we would not come to him. For there we would find only wrath and punishment, rightfully so, for what we had done. But we come knowing his grace and his mercy, confessing our sin before him, acknowledging our guilt, and receiving the forgiveness of sin as he has promised through the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Those who rendered him evil for good, the children of the devil, this sinful world, just as they did to our Lord Jesus Christ. David followed after the hope that God had given him, which he expressed so many times, and as he does here in this psalm, that God would help him and grant him forgiveness. He followed after good. Not saying here that he had done all of these good things that God needed to pay attention to and so somehow mitigate some of the punishment that he might be inclined to pour out on him. Not at all. The good that he had followed after was the goodness that was promised in his Savior, Jesus Christ. A son which would proceed even from David's own loins. The son that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, the one in whom the hope of the world rested. That was the good that he had followed after. And that was why his spirit longed for the Lord, for that peace, for that forgiveness, for that hope that God gives to each and every one of us, through the spirit that he has given us in our baptism. David's hope is your hope. It is based on the sure and certain and unchanging and eternal Word of God. The Word that became flesh and lived among us. The Word that was sacrificed, as God had promised, on behalf of you and me. To David's words, make haste, O God, to help me. Your words that were based in hope, not just wishful thinking, not just a desire that somehow God would change things and come and help, but a sure and certain knowledge that God not only hears his prayer, but is answering him, even as the words proceed from his lips. God is not far, not ever from you or me, whom he has made his home, in whom dwells his Holy Spirit. He is very near us, and because of that, our hope is well founded. It will not fail. On the last day when Jesus comes again to judge this whole world, that hope which he has ignited in your heart through the Word, that hope which he has placed there through your baptism and through the presence of the Holy Spirit, will be a hope that shines with all the glory of the Son of God himself. For it is his Spirit whom he has given you, his Spirit in whom you trust and by whom you know the forgiveness which God has granted through his Son. You are my God, O Lord. I trust in you. Not because of some heroic faith that you yourself have generated, but because of a faith
which God himself has generated and placed in your heart. A faith which he made and which he nourishes by his Holy Spirit, that was given in your baptism, that is nourished now even in the hearing of his words of hope. O Lord, my salvation, make haste to help me. For you are my hope, and you are my Savior. And in between those lines, we can hear and we can read the words that are in David's heart. He's saying, as you and I say, I know you will, Lord. My prayer comes before you and you hear my prayer. But my suffering and my guilt is deep. And I come to you, repentant of my sin, and acknowledging that you are my Savior. I know you will hear my prayer. Your right hand holds me fast. You will never leave me or forsake me. And in Psalm 51, we say again and again, day after day, create in me a clean heart, O God, one that knows your righteousness. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with the willing spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.